Hello, my name's Mariah Dunn, and this is Sean Hayes.
Hello.
And we are program managers on the accessibility team. And today, we're going to be talking with you about building accessible, universal Windows applications. Today, we're going to be doing a deeper dive into a common XAML programming pattern related to custom templated data-bound content, specifically in a list view. We're going to be talking about the accessibility problems you may run into with this programming pattern, and we're also going to be talking about the solution, which is custom automation peers. There are many solutions on Windows that rely on the automation framework. These accessibility solutions are Narrator, Magnifier, and Windows Speech Recognition. We are going to be showing you how you can make your applications accessible with these types of solutions. So now I'm going to show you a demo of an application that I've built. So here I've built a XAML test app, which ranks and shows you different games. So here I have top education apps with, this is my data-bound content with an image and a title and a subtitle and a rating. But the problem that I'm running into is that when I turn on Narrator, the inbox screen reader, I'm not hearing anything useful. So I'm going to show you what I'm running into. So I'm going to turn on Narrator by pressing Windows Enter.
Group list original one window, selected. Group list original one dot control info data item, 1 of 3. 1 of 3, level 2.
So there you just heard a bunch of information about group list original, which is the title of the application, and I'm not getting any useful information about the actual game that I'm on.
Right, so what's happening here is that because you have, this is a kind of a structured piece of data that you're constructing, probably with a data template, if I'm guessing right. And so you have an image in here and some strings and the rating control. And so what the problem is that the automatic translation between the your UI framework, you're used to the idea of your visual tree. In the automation framework, there's a similar kind of tree, which is, you can think of that as a filtered version of your UI tree. And then in between those two things, there's a broker object called an automation peer, which is taking information from your user interface tree and presenting it in the automation tree. But it can only do so far. It can't do magic, okay? So it can only translate information that follows certain patterns. So this is too complicated for it to do that automatically. So we need to help it out a little bit. Okay, so if we look at the code.
Okay.
Exiting Narrator.
Okay, so I'm gonna show you my code now.
Okay.
So I'm on, let me turn it off. And here's the main page.xaml,
right.
And here's my data template.
Yes,
so this
exactly.
is where all of the information about each game is being displayed. So I have my image, and I have my title, and my subtitle, and my rating.
Right.
And below here, I have a grid, and inside that grid, I have a list view. And that list view is the main part of my user interface. And so essentially, the structure of this application is I have a JSON object here, where this is all of the information that's getting displayed on the screen about each game, all of the content about each game. That information from the JSON object is then getting parsed in the data model and then getting data bound through my code behind into my XAML. So is there anything you can help me with now?
Yeah, so this is exactly what I was thinking. So this is, here you have your stack panel, and you can say this has no usable strings that the automation system can promote to be the name for this item. Okay, so what's happening here? So what goes on in data binding is when you have a list view, it takes every element from your data source and it wraps it in a container, and it uses that data template to put that data template inside that container. And that container is something called a list view item. Okay, and every time it creates one of those, it actually offers you the opportunity to replace that object with one of your own. And that's what we're going to do here. So it sends you an event, in fact, and we can use that event, and it's called the choosing item container event. So we're going to create a handler for this, and what we'll do in this handler in this handler, what we're going to do is we're going to create a new object, which is basically a wrap around the built-in list view object, but it's going to be one of our own devising. So we'll be able to own, if you like, the accessibility experience of that item. Okay, so what we do here, now you'll see that it sends me this args object. And if we look inside that, you can see it has a number of objects in here, and it says this item here is going to be the object that it's going to be using. So if we actually replace that with something of our own, we're going to call this accessible item. So that'll give it a container to use that we can control. And then when it gets that item, we'll be able to, instead of having, you remember I told you about these broker objects that map between the two objects, we're going to create a version of our own broker object, which will do that translation, and we can teach it how to do that. Okay, so we're going to create one of these things. Okay, and we're actually going to have it inherit from list view item. And so what happens was when the automation system wants to ask for some information from your application, it calls a method called onCreateAutomationPeer. And when we return that object, that's the broker object that's going to do the translation. So we need to override that method. So we'll do that. And instead of turning the base automation peer, what we're actually going to return here is a new accessible item automation peer. Again, this is a new class that we're about to devise, so let's define that. Okay, so now that we have this automation peer, we're kind of in control because this is the object that the automation framework is going to use to get any information from our application. Okay. Now, all of the objects in the framework already have an automation peer type associated with them. So there is a list view item automation peer already, which we can use. So we're going to actually inherit from that. Okay, sorry. So what I've forgotten to do here is that this actually needs a pointer back to the object in order to work. So we have to return this in here. And so that needs to be in here. Okay, so now we've created this thing. It has a pointer back to our object, and we can use that pointer to return bits of information. So we're going to have... let's record that as an internal object. Okay, so we're going to record that back pointer into the object. Okay, so now what we can do is we can take over and we can return something. So in particular, when Narrator was landing on those objects and reading out that class information, which wasn't very useful to us, we can actually override the method it's using to do that. We can return a different kind of name, which we're going to get from this object. So let's override the get name. Get name function, okay, and instead of returning the base, what we're actually going to do is we'll get something off that item. So, okay, so the item content now is the data object that was bound in there. So we're going to cast that to be your data type, which is in the model, control info data. Control info data item. Okay, so now we have the bound item, we can pick something off that to return. So what we'll do is we'll return the item description. Okay, and that'll be a usable string that we know is going to make sense to the user. So if you want to give that a whirl, see how that works.
Great. So I will run this now. All right, I'll run narrator.
Group list original one window. Selected. Burst the blue bubble. 1 of 3. 1 of 3. Level 2.
Great, so now we have useful information about the game, but I'm still not getting any information about the rating.
Okay, yeah, so this is interesting here because this object, although it has like the ordinary list view item semantics, it also has this numeric value semantics, which isn't something that the automation framework usually expects a list view item to have. So what we can do for this is we can actually teach the automation peer to return something called a value pattern. And that's like a semantic contract, if you like, between the automation framework and our system. And it means that it'll then be able to fetch and store value information through that automation peer. So let's get out of this and have a look at how that works.
Exiting narrator.
Okay. So what we need to do is we need to teach it a new protocol, in fact. And it's called the iValueProvider protocol. And what that is basically an interface that we need to implement in order that the automation framework can make use of this value semantics. So we're going to implement this interface. Okay, and you can see that it's added three new methods here. Is read only, and we're going to return false for that because we're going to allow the ratings to change. Okay, and then we're going to get the value, and that works very similarly to this here, so we can just copy this. But now instead of returning the item description, we're actually going to return its rating. But that rating is a number, so we're going to turn that into a string. Okay, so now we know how to get the value, and then setting the value is kind of the same thing in reverse. We're getting a string representation of that value, and then we need to set that as the rating on the item. So we're going to parse that string. Okay, and we'll get the item again in the same way. And then we'll set the item.rating to D. Okay, so now we've taught the system how to be a value provider. And the last thing we need to do is we need to let the automation framework know that we've done that. So there's another method to override. Because what happens is whenever the framework wants to know whether you support a certain interface, it calls this method and passes in the pattern interface it's interested in. Now, for the most part, we can rely on the behavior of the list view item automation peer. But in this particular case for the value, so if the pattern equals the value pattern, then we need to return an object which implements that interface we've just implemented. So we can go ahead and return this on this object. So now the automation framework knows that we're going to participate in this object. And we could run this and we would get the value. But I'm actually going to show you something interesting here which might help you out, is that we have a tool in the Windows SDK called Inspect, which actually allows you to look at the all of the automation framework information that your application is sending. Let's start. Okay. So you can see here, as I'm, this is giving me the whole tree, that the automation tree that we created, and you can see the strings that we are putting in these list items. Okay. But one of the things that we can see now is that actually we now have this thing called isValuePattern here. And it's saying that value pattern is available. And in fact, here is the value that it's currently has. And it's not read-only. So the other thing that we can actually do is we can actually drive this from the automation object itself. So we can actually call that setValue method through the inspect tool. And since I actually like the blue bubble game, I'm going to give it a much better rating than you did. Okay, and you can see that the rating's gone up there in the application. So we're actually driving this application completely programmatically through Inspect. Now, if this was some kind of assistive technology, we might be hooked up to a specialized device and it will allow them to drive our application. So now we're getting a much better experience.
I see. So this program is built on the automation framework. Can I use this program maybe in testing? Or?
You can certainly use the automation framework in testing. In fact, there's some cool stuff also at Build this year where we're showing how we're using the web driver interfaces and wrapping that around the automation framework for some very cool testing scenarios. So I suggest if testing's your area of interest, you check that out. But we're primarily interested in automation from an accessibility point of view here. So this is really for a checking tool. And there are a couple of others, one called ACEvent, which shows the events going backwards and forwards between your thing. And they're all in the Windows SDK.
So it looks like the framework does most of the work here for us.
That's correct.
And for the custom templated data bound content pattern, we just need to do a small amount of work to make our application accessible.
That's right. If you make sure that you're using the right semantic element, the right construct for the job, that you make sure that your markup is ordered in the right way, and that you're using information in the correct way, and you provide that little bit of extra information that the framework can't figure out on its own, and you're using the events correctly, then these things are fairly easy to get over.
Great. And you should check out some of the other accessibility talks that we have filmed. We have some background videos on accessibility content. The first is on accessible solutions on Windows 10, as well as the four main design principles used to design accessible applications. The second video covers common problems that all XAML developers run into when building accessible applications. And the third video covers new features that are coming in the next release. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much. And we look forward to hearing your adventures in making your apps accessible.